The ringing of the bells is a traditional call to prayer. So we allow the sound, that ringing, to lead us to these 20 minutes of stillness and silence, in which we move to our deepest desire, which is simply to hear Jesus speaking directly to us. And to help us to do this in this Lectio Divina, we use the scriptures, the scripture passage of the day. And we begin by taking moments to prepare, to be comfortable, to be aware of your breathing. Perhaps a couple of yawns is a good way to put some oxygen into the lungs and to help us to relax, and then gradually allow your breathing to deepen. As you breathing out all anxiety, all worry, and on the in-breaths, breathing in all the good things that God has to offer you in these moments. Don't try to empty your mind. Simply allow what is ever there to be there. While these thoughts, these anxieties and worries might be a problem for us, they're not a problem for God. They're certainly not an obstacle to the work that Jesus is wanting to do with you in these moments. Become aware of the people for whom you wish to pray, for whom you are concerned. Be aware of those whose presence is encouraging you and giving you hope, but also be aware of those who you are finding more difficult. Be aware of the circumstances that are part of your life, the things that you are enjoying. And the circumstances that are more difficult for you, all of this we allow to be in our mind as we prepare to listen to Jesus speak to us. Allow your desire to hear the voice of Jesus to grow. Be aware of your expectation. Be aware of your need. The Gospel reading for the fourth Sunday of Lent is the well-known story of the loving Father from Luke chapter 15. It's a longer Gospel reading than usual, so we'll listen to it only once. Let's open our minds and hearts to hear Jesus speaking to us directly. The tax collectors and the sinners were all seeking the company of Jesus to hear what he had to say. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained. "This man," they said, "welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them. A man had two sons. The younger said to the father, Father, let me have the share of the estate that would come to me. So the father divided the property between them. A few days later, the younger son got together everything he had and left for a distant country, where he squandered his money on a life of debauchery. When he had spent it all, that country experienced a severe famine, and now he began to feel the pinch, so he hired himself out to one of the local inhabitants, who put him on his farm to feed the pigs. And he would willingly have filled his belly with the husks the pigs were eating, but no one offered him anything. Then he came to his senses and said, "How many of my father's paid servants have more food than they want, and here am I dying of hunger. I will leave this place and go to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as one of your paid servants.'" So he left the place and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with pity. He ran to the boy, clasped him in his arms, and kissed him tenderly. Then his son said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the calf we had been fattening and kill it. We're going to have a feast, a celebration, because this son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is found," and they began to celebrate. Now the elder son was out in the fields, and on his way back, as he drew near the house, he could hear music and dancing. Calling one of the servants, he asked what it was all about. "Your brother has come," replied the servant, "and your father has killed the calf we had fattened, because he has got him back safe and sound." He was angry then and refused to go in, and his father came out to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I have slaved for you and never once disobeyed your orders, yet you never offered me so much as a kid for me to celebrate with my friends. But for this son of yours, when he comes back after swallowing up all your property, he and his women, you kill the calf we had been fattening." The father said, "My son, you are always with me, and all I have is yours. But it was only right we should celebrate and rejoice, because your brother here was dead and has come to life. He was lost and is found." Now that we have heard this reading with renewed ears, with deeper openness, speak to Jesus about your own life, about what you heard in this scripture passage. We've heard the reading, we've pondered, we've meditated on the words, we have spoken to Jesus about what we have heard. Now we come to the next phase of our prayer, the contemplation. It's often easy to talk about what we talk to Jesus about if we're expressing this to others, but contemplation, it can kind of seem as though we're wasting time or even daydreaming, but don't worry about that. We're simply going to gift Jesus the time in these minutes. We're not going to worry too much. We're going to give the responsibility for this prayer to Jesus. It's his turn now to speak to us. Let's listen. What do you sense, Jesus, saying to you? Again, don't worry too much if you feel as though your mind's wandering. We've given the responsibility for communication in these minutes, the responsibility for this prayer to Jesus. We're giving him the time, the work of this prayer. This prayer of contemplation is not our work, it's the work of Jesus. All we need to do is to give the time and to stay with our desire to hear his voice. And now we come to the final stage of this prayer, this Lectio Divina prayer, this holy reading time. A stage often known as the action stage, and we tend to think, now that I've heard the reading and meditated and spent some time in contemplation, what can I do? A better question is not what can I do, but Jesus, what are you calling me to do? Jesus, what are you inviting me to do? How are you calling me to change the way I think, the way I act, as a result of this time of prayer? As this time of prayer draws to a close, let's not worry too much about what we feel has happened or not happened in the time. The fact is, we gave these minutes to Jesus. And often when we don't think much has happened, or we think we've been all over the place, they are the very times when, at a level deeper than our consciousness, Jesus has been working in us and through us. And so we conclude this time with confidence. All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.